Alright, our scripture text this morning is taken from the book of Job. Job chapter 2 and verse 10 will serve as our text. And we're going to be picking up in the middle of the verse with the question that Job asks his wife. Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity? In the beginning of the book of Job, we read this. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil. And 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. Also, his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household. So that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. And his sons would go and feast in their houses, each on his appointed day, and would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. So it was when the days of feasting had run their course, that Job would send and sanctify them, and he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did regularly. So everything is going along well with Job and his family. Everybody's in good health. There's plenty of money to go around. They're not lacking anything. Job's got the equivalent of a little house church, and the Lord God is exalted in their home. Well, he didn't know at this point of time, but Satan would shortly be coming along, as he sometimes does. And he goes to the throne room of God, and he goes before the Lord, and he says, well, God, Job is only serving you because things are good. He accuses Job of being a stony ground follower of the Lord. Such a one of whom it is written, but he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. When tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. There are a lot of professing Christians like this. They hear the word of God and they're like, wow, this is great. How much does it cost for the fire insurance? Free? Jesus paid it all? Ah, good deal. I'll take it. And they get that, and they come around for a little while. But then the persecutions and the trials start to mount up. Difficult days come into their homes and their marriages. They have issues with their children. Their health begins to falter. Those who they thought were their friends, they realize aren't their friends anymore. And some, tragically, go back to the world. This is what Satan is accusing Job of being, this kind of person. Well, God allows Satan to take Job's property, Job's children, and finally, Job's health. And when we get to Job chapter 2, verse 9, we realize that Job's relationship with his wife, his marriage is on the line on top of it all. His wife said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. But he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity? And all this, Job did not sin with his lips. So Mrs. Job is ready to throw in the towel. But lest Mrs. Job get too bad of a rap, please remember that Mrs. Job just lost 10 kids too. and her husband, at least from the practical standpoint. Well, Job resigns his will, and he has such faith as to be ready to wait upon God. Yeah, it's hard for Job, emotionally, physically, mentally, and spiritually. The entire book of Job chronicles his struggles and his difficulty in understanding why God. Why? He's repeatedly coming to the Lord saying, "You know what, God? I know I haven't done things perfectly, but I have done my best to serve you, Lord God, and yet all of these things have still come upon me. Why?" But Job would not be a stony ground faith man, but a good ground man, and a mighty example of faith in adversity. So much so that we're still talking about him today, 4,000 years after the fact. Our text reads, "Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity?" And I've said this before, every time you come to a question, when you read the Bible, ask yourself the question. There's a reason why God made sure that that question was written down. And it's not just for Job and his friends and his wife, but it's for you and me too. Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity? Well, we're going to approach our text from three viewpoints. First, God does not owe us anything. Job got this. Secondly, adversity tends to strengthen our faith more than good does. And many of us in this room have experienced this truth. Some of us are going through it right now. And third, we're going to talk about Jesus Christ. For no sermon or teaching is worth its salt if we're not exalting the Savior. The greatest adversity in history resulted in the greatest good. Now, Job has had much adversity, but I would submit to you that the adversity that our Lord submitted himself to voluntarily was all the more great. God does not owe us anything. Job had said in the midst of his trial, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." We take nothing into this world, we will take nothing out. Everything we get along the way, our spouse, our children, our job, our home, our car, whether it runs well or doesn't run well, as our brother so aptly pointed out in prayer. I thanked God many times for that Toyota Corolla that you had to get out and push. Because most of the time, it got me from here to there. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Let's get in the habit of looking at everything as a gift. Even if it's not the best thing, as the world gives, it's the thing we need, and it's the thing that God's blessed us with. We earn none of these gifts. If we earned them, they wouldn't be gifts, right? These are God's gifts. In the sense that we may have attained a good job by working hard, the ability to get it done was God-given as well. You hear many people say, "I worked for that." He didn't work for that. So I'm going to keep it and I'm not giving it to him. Well, maybe God's given you that ability to work for that so that you could help those who are destitute or down on their luck. The sum of it all is there's no excuse for an unthankful, complaining spirit. Let's find the silver lining in the cloud, and not the cloud in the silver lining. For some, it's not enough that there's a cloud there. We've got to find more clouds in the lining around it. But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? Let us cease complaining about our lot in life. Neither God nor man owes us anything. Therefore, let us bow on bended knee and get thankful. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Now, this is a reference to the Exodus generation, which rebelled for 40 years. But you've had your share of rebellion too, have you not? So therefore, do not harden your hearts as in the days of your rebellion, we might say, as in the day of trial in the wilderness. The Lord does not owe you spiritual salvation, yet this too is God's gift to you, if you will have it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So you see, there is one thing that you can take with you beyond the grave. We always say you can't take it with you, but there's one thing you can take: your relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That's the one thing you can take with you. Therefore, if need be, spend your lifetime figuring it out. I pray that each one in my hearing recognizes the need and the urgency of this. Secondly, adversity tends to strengthen our faith more than good. If things are too good, it's all too easy to fall into the trap of worldly fullness. If the world is filling us up, it can obscure our spiritual vision. If we're filled with the world, how then can the Holy Spirit fill us if there is no room for Him in the heart? You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. I'll say it again because I'm going to spin off of this as a subtext. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. When adversity comes, what do we realize we need? Help! When the attack comes from the adversary, when the fiery darts have been sent, what do we need? A shield! Therefore, you who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. So difficulties tend to bring us to a realization of our need, and they ought to bring us to our prayer room. Now, our third point this morning: the greatest adversity in history resulted in the greatest good. Our Savior Jesus experienced much adversity to secure the salvation of men. In His birth now, the stable would do. But was the stable the most comfortable place for the Lord of glory to enter into the world which He created with His own hands? Imagine the rumors in Nazareth that were going around the schoolyard regarding His mother being found with child before being married to Joseph the carpenter. Our Lord was rejected by men, ridiculed and mocked. He experienced hunger. He was thirsty. At times, He was filled with sorrow and with grief, so much so that he wept at the tomb of his friend Lazarus. The devil himself even tempted Jesus when the devil thought it was an opportune moment at what he thought were his weakest moments. And perhaps so it was. After 40 days in the wilderness of prayer and fasting, in the Garden of Gethsemane, where the Lord was struggling with great adversity. If there be some other way, Father, let this cup pass from me. Behold the Savior sweating great drops of blood to the earth. And again at the cross, if you are the Son of God, heckled the crowd, come down from that cross. Jesus understands your adversity. He's been there. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus made it through all the adversity, everything that the devil threw at him, everything that the Lord allowed to be directed his way in his short sojourn on earth. And at the end of it all, our sins, your sins, my sins, all the sins that we have committed, all the sins that we committed this morning, and that we'll commit today, and all of the sins that we'll commit tomorrow, if the Lord gives us tomorrow, paid for. All in a moment, all of the sins of the earth placed upon the heart of the Savior. All that's left for us to do is believe. All we need to do is cast our cares upon Him. Why? Because He cares for you. Because He gets it. And maybe He hasn't gone through exactly the thing that you've gone through, but I suppose He's gone through greater trials. Amen?
Amen.
Turn these stones to bread. That's not a legitimate temptation for you and I. We can't do it, right? But the Son of God could. For the greater received the greater trials. And then if you can't quite get your arms around that, consider Job. His property, his 10 children, just like that, all at once. Maybe you've lost a child, or a parent, a loved one, and this is really weighing heavy on your heart, especially as the holidays approach. Consider Job, who lost 10 children, all in one fell swoop, and yet was able to say, shall we accept good from the Lord and not adversity? Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for all of Your blessings. We thank You for the good, and we also thank You for the adversity. We thank You for the trials. Lord God, strengthen our faith. That through these trials, we might not cave, but that we might grow in our faith. That as we're put on trial, as Job was, before heaven and earth, that will be found to glorify you and not shaming your name by joining the number of those through the years who've been stony ground hearers when the trials and the tribulations came, who just fell away just like that. Lord God, we know that we can't do this. We know that we can't hold up ourselves on our own power. We pray that you give us the strength and carry us through. Thank you for all of your great blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now offer one